In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Oh, how we need to hear the Word of God and respond to it. Not only do we need to hear it, we need to respond to it. We're looking at Elisha, 2 Kings 4:42. A man came from Baal Shalisha, bringing food from the first fruits of the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elisha said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 men?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." He set it before them and ate and had some left over according to the word of the Lord. I tell you, we hear Jesus, who had 5,000 men, not counting the women and children, who multiplied a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish. And we see that in John's gospel. We see that also in Matthew and Mark's gospel, how Jesus multiplied the fish and the loaves. What Elisha did was kind of making ready for what Jesus would do. Chapter 5, Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man and had high favor with his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man, though a mighty warrior, suffered from leprosy. What is leprosy? It was any blotch on the skin. And if you were a leper, you had to be, what's the word, alone or with other lepers. Now the Armenians, on one of the raids, had taken a young girl captive from the land of Israel. This young girl is the heroine of the story. And she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria," that's Elisha, "he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord just what the girl from the land of Israel had said. And the king of Aram said, "Go then, I will send along a letter to the king of Israel." Oh no, it had nothing to do with the king of Israel. It had something to do with the prophet of Israel, had something to do with Elisha, but the king doesn't know. So he sends a letter to the king of Israel. He went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of garments. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent you my servant Naaman, that you may cure him." Now the king knows it is not he who is going to cure the man of leprosy. When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure this man of leprosy? Just look and see how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, that he may learn that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and halted at the entrance of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Now I'm going to tell you, Naaman's not going to like this, because the Jordan is not very clean. He's got rivers in his own country that are much purer than the river of the Jordan. And your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became angry. Why? And went away saying, I thought that he would surely come out and stand and call on his name of the Lord his God, and would wave his hand over the spot and cure the leprosy. You know, he had his own idea how God was going to cure the leprosy. But God wants him to dunk into the Jordan River seven times. And that's the word of the Lord. Are not the Abana and the Parpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? He turned and went away in a rage. But his servants approached and said to him, Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, would you have done it? How much more when he said to you, go wash and be clean? So he went down and immersed himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. His flesh was restored like the flesh of a young boy, and he was made clean. I tell you, God knows how to do things. We've got to do things God's way. Not only do we do things for God, we've got to do things God's way. It was God's way that this Naaman would go into the Jordan River and dunk seven times. Not only was he to do that, he was to do it with faith. And I tell you, there was faith in the man because he was desperate. Are you desperate today? Are you desperate today? Oh, there is faith for you, for those that are desperate. Then he returned to the man of God. He and his company, he came and stood before him and said, Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. In other words, through this miracle, he came to believe in the God of Israel. Please accept a present from your servant. But he said, As the Lord lives whom I serve, I will accept nothing. He urged him to accept, but Elisha refused. Then Naaman said, If not, please let two mule loads of earth be given to your servant, for your servant will no longer offer burnt offerings or sacrifices to any god except the Lord. In other words, he wants the land of Israel, the holy land, to offer sacrifice. He was going back to the gods of pagans, but he wanted to offer sacrifice on the holy land. But may the Lord pardon your servant on one account. When my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and I bow down in the house of Rimmon, when I do bow down in the house of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant on this one account. He said to him, Go in peace. In other words, the guy knew that the God of Israel was the real God, and he would have to do this for his master. But he knew, the Naaman knew, that it was the God of Israel that healed him, and he wanted to offer sacrifice on the land of the God of Israel. That's why he took two mule loads of earth from Israel. But when Naaman had gone out from him a short distance, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, My master has let that Aramean and Naaman off too lightly by not accepting from him what he offered. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and get something out of him. So Gehazi went after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone coming after him, he jumped down in the chariot to meet him and said, Is everything all right? And he replied, Yes, but my master has sent me to say, two members of a country of prophets have just come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give a talent of silver and two changes of clothing. He's lying. He's lying. Gehazi is lying. He is greedy. He wants things. Elisha would not accept anything from Naaman. But Gehazi has greed. Greed will destroy you because it is lust after wealth, and that will destroy you. Naaman said, please accept 2 talents. He urged him and tied up 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and 2 changes of clothing and gave them to 2 of his servants who carried them in front of Gehazi. Now we're going to know that Elisha is going to see this in the spirit. He's going to see this, that Gehazi is greedy. When he came to the citadel, he took the bags from them and stored them inside. He dismissed the men and they left. He went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, where have you been, Gehazi? He answered, your servant has not gone anywhere at all. He's lying. But he said to him, did I not go with you in spirit when someone left the chariot to meet you? Is this a time to accept money and to accept clothing and olive orchards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female slaves? Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. So he left his presence leprous, as white as snow. I tell you, greed is something really bad. It's lust. Lust after wealth. You see, I want this. I want nothing. I want Jesus. I want Jesus. That's all I have is Jesus. Now the company of the prophets said to Elisha, as you see, the place where we live under your charge is too small for us. In other words, the place where we're living is not adequate for us. It's too small. Let us go to the Jordan and let us collect logs there, one for each of us, and build a place there for us to live. He answered, do so. Then one of them said, please come with your servants. And he answered, I will. So he went with them. When they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees, but as one was felling a log, his axe had fell into the water, the head of the axe. He cried out, alas, master, it was a borrowed axe. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? When he showed him the place, it cut off the stick. He cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. That's impossible. But nothing is impossible with God. He said, pick it up. So he reached out his hand and took it. I'm telling you, God knows how to do things. We need to do things the way God knows how to do them. Poor Gehazi, he was greedy and so suffered leprosy, him and his descendants. We continue. Once when the king of Aram was at war with Israel, he took counsel with his officers and he said, at such and such a time shall be my camp. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, take care not to pass this place because the Armenians are going down there. They were at war with Israel. Are you at war with Jesus today? That you do not go to him for confession and admit that you're a sinner and that your sin separates you from God? Are you at war with Jesus today? You just need to submit to the Lord. Give yourself to Jesus. Ask him to be your Savior and Lord and wash you with his blood. The king of Israel sent word to the place of which the man of God spoke. More than once or twice he warned such a place so that it was on the alert. The mind of the king of Aram was greatly perturbed because of this. He called his officers and said to them, now tell me, who among us sides with the king of Israel? Then one of his officers said, no one, my lord king. It is Elisha the prophet in Israel who tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. In other words, he hears the words of the king of Armenian, the Armenian king, in the spirit. He said, go and find where Elisha is, and I will send and seize him. He was told he is in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots there with great armies. They came by night and surrounded the city. When an attendant of the man of God arose early in the morning and went out, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. His servants said to Elisha, alas, master, what shall we do? He replied, do not be afraid, for there are more with us than there are with them. My gosh, but the army surrounded the camp, and there's just Elisha and his servant. But you know what? Listen to what Elisha says. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the servant, and he saw the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. In other words, these angels were going to fight for him if they had to. When the Arameans came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, please, with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Elisha said to them, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of these men so that they may see. The Lord opened their eyes, and they saw that they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, Father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? He answered, no, no. Did you not capture with your sword and your bow those whom you want to kill? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink, and let them go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. After they ate and drank, he sent them on their way, and they went to their master. And the Armenians no longer came riding into the land of Israel. I tell you, that's all the prophet has to say, is open their eyes. I pray that our eyes are open and that we would seek Jesus. I pray that we would seek Jesus the Lord. I pray that our eyes be open, that we not seek angels, but we would seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you today, to seek Jesus, to seek Jesus. Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. Before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to the elders, are you aware that this murderer has sent someone to take off my head? When the messenger comes and sees that you shut the door and hold it closed against him, is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? While he was still speaking with them, the king's came down to him and said, the trouble is from the Lord. Why should I hope in the Lord any longer? But Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow, about this time, a measure of choice meal shall be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now this would be impossible, but not with God. We're going to see how it happened. Then the captain on which hand the king leaned said to the man of God, even if the Lord were to make windows in the sky, could such a thing happen? But he said, you shall see with your own eyes. Oh, nothing is impossible with God. What are you facing today? Nothing is impossible with God. What are you facing today? Your own mountain. Nothing is impossible with God. As long as your faith is intact and God is on his throne, it's going to be okay. Nothing is impossible with God, but you shall not eat from it. Now there were four leprous men outside the city gate who said to one another, Why should we sit here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine in the city, and we shall die there. But if we sit here, we shall die. Therefore, let us desert to the Armenian camp. If they spare our lives, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall die. So they arose at twilight to go on to the Armenian camp. And when they came to the edge of the Armenian camp, there was no one there at all. Remember, they fled. For the Lord had caused the Armenians, an army, to hear the sound of chariots and horses and the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, the king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to fight against us. It wasn't any king. It had to do with the angels of God, who was going to fight for them. So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned the tents, their horses and their donkeys, leaving the camp just as it was, and they fled for their lives. When these leprous men had come to the edge of the camp, they went into the tent, ate and drank, and carried off silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid themselves. They went back and entered another tent, carried off things from it, and went and hid them. We see that God wins the victory with only two men and all these holy angels. Then they said to one another, what we are doing is wrong. This is the day of good news. If we are silent and wait until the morning light, we will be found guilty. Therefore, let us go and tell the king's household. So they came and called the gatekeepers of the city and told them, we went to the Armenian camp, but there was no one to be seen, no one to be heard, nothing but horses tied up and donkeys tied up, and the tents as they were, empty. Then the gatekeepers called out and proclaimed it to the king's household. The king got up that night and said to his servants, I will tell you what the Armenians have prepared for us. They know that we are starving, so they have left the camp to hide themselves in the open country, thinking when they come out of the city, we will take them alive and get them into the city. One of the servants said, let some men take 5 of the remaining horses, since this here will suffer the fate of the whole multitude. So what happens? I tell you what happens. Just as Elisha said that barley would be sold for very cheap, and that's what happened. That's exactly what happened. And the word of the Lord came through. I tell you, do you know the word of the Lord to you? It will come about if you are patient. It will come about if you are patient. Are you patient? Are you waiting patiently with faith? You see, not only waiting, but with faith that God is going to do what he promised he was going to do. Do you know that today? God's promises are always amen in Jesus Christ. God's promises are always yea and amen in Jesus Christ. What has God promised you? He will do it. You say, but I haven't seen it yet. Let your faith be strong and believe that what the Lord has told you will come about. How do I know that? Because the word of God does not return void. It does exactly what the Lord calls it to do. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Would you leave a donation on PayPal? Go to inseason.net and leave a donation on PayPal. I'd be very appreciative. We've gone off some stations because they have not provided anything, and I will go off more stations if I have to. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.